Throughout my life, the great matzo ball debate has continued unabated. Should they be firm or fluffy? That's why over the past week or so, we've been collecting your matzo ball recipes, tips, and stories for our latest Lopecho recipe swap. Passover starts tonight, and we're going to share some of your submissions on air now and try to get to the bottom of what makes a good bowl of matzo ball soup. And with me is Jewish food expert and cookbook writer, Joan Nathan. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Joan.
I love talking to you, Leonard.
Are you busy preparing for your Seder right now?
I am in high gear. I'm taking a half-hour break, and I'm delighted.
How much do you do from scratch?
Everything.
Because isn't that becoming more and more unusual? I remember speaking to some foodies a couple of years ago, and they said that they were going to be getting their gefilte fish from some store, and I made a face, and they said, no, it's pretty good.
Well, it is, except that it's not my mother-in-law's recipe, and since she's been dead, I've been making it, and I have six women who come. We do a gefilte fish in Sunday morning. Everyone brings their pot, and we made 30 pounds of gefilte fish.
Wow. Let's talk about the matzo balls. Are all matzo balls, whether firm and fluffy, made of basic ingredients?
Well, actually, not necessarily. Some of them are made from crushed matzo, because after all, we only have matzo meal since about the 30s, when Manischewitz became such a big company and made matzo meal. Before that, they had something look like a butter churn, and they would break up the matzahs, and that's how you would make them. And some people still at Passover that I know make them from broken up matzah.
I assume that would give a different kind of texture because it would be more uneven.
Yes, but they're equally as delicious.
Do we know about the dish's origins?
Well, actually, it comes from Central Europe, knödel. And the dumplings are Central European, German, Jewish. And as Jewish food everywhere has been a variation or a geographical variation on a theme, that's what matzo balls are.
Well, knödels are
right.
Egg dumplings.
They're egg dumplings, right.
But
bread, very often they have bread. We make them with matzo meal.
Uh-huh. So you can call a matzo ball a knödel? Are these words interchangeable, matzo balls and knödels?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, in my research, I noticed that when Manischewitz had a little booklet in the 30s in Yiddish and English, they called matzo balls, they didn't call them matzo balls, they called them Alsatian feathery balls.
Well, that means that I guess that there are no Sephardic matzo balls.
Not that I know of. Not that I know of.
You submitted your favorite matzo ball recipe, which is posted on our website. Is this something that is also a family tradition like the gefilte fish?
Oh, absolutely. Well, this is my mother's recipes, and as I asked her before, she's 93, I asked her before I knew I was coming on the show, I said, okay, mother, what's the secret? She said, there's no secret. They always come out perfect, no matter what I do. And what she does is she uses matzo meal. It's in the hands, I think, actually, and schmaltz, or chicken fat, eggs, a little bit of water, but she lets it sit for, I think that's one of the tricks of it, sitting in a refrigerator for a few hours. I do it overnight.
Well,
and then if you want light matzo balls, you have to cook it for a long time. I always cook my matzo balls in salted water, not in the soup, because sometimes a little bit of the matzo ball might fluff away into the, skim off into the soup. And you don't want that in your soup. You want the soup to be very clear. So I make them in the in a big rolling pot of salted water, and then I cover them, and I wait about 20 minutes. If you want them fluffy, what I do is, and I don't usually want them fluffy, I like mine not very hard, but I like a little, like al dente, a little punch to them.
It almost sounds like making pasta, except that you also include nutmeg and ginger in your recipe.
Well, because I'm from a German-Jewish background, that's why.
And I
use fresh ginger whenever I can get it. It's really quite wonderful, which is modern American, of course. And a little bit of parsley sometimes for color.
Well, we should get to our listeners. One of our listeners who's weighed in on the firm side of the matzo ball debate is David in Nassau County. Did you grow up eating the firm type, David?
My mother started with the firm type, and then, as I posted to your site, my mother and her sisters were searching for the ultimate gourmet matzo ball. I think they were trying to come up with the equivalent of quenelle, mm-hmm. I believe that's pronounced. But I got used to it, and I have a fondness for the type which, as my brother says, bounces. That is, it's rubbery on the inside and softer on the outside, you know, sort of an aerobic workout for your mouth. It turns out, in the end, that the recipe that produces both of them is on the side of the box, with or without seltzer water. The difference, according to my brother, to whom I always defer in culinary matters, is the handling. So some people, when they mix the eggs, will separate the whites and beat them separately so they're fluffier. And also depends on how you handle, I guess, the matzo meal. So when you've mixed everything, you don't compact them too much.
Now, my mother's matzo balls we used to call cannonballs. And we would chase them around the soup bowl, and then when we finally caught them, we would cut them in half, and they would then sop up the soup in the exposed innards. The first time I ever had fluffy matzo balls, I think, was at a restaurant, and I thought, oh, this is the Goyish style.
Right.
Well, you want to know something. Every matzo ball from Matzo Ball Mix has baking powder in it.
Right.
During Passover or not Passover. So that's why they're so light and fluffy.
Well, we want to thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
And now we go to Doris in Santa Cruz. Hi, Doris. Are you there? Doris? Well, Doris, are you? She's in Santa Cruz. She has to run all the way to New York, I think. Are you there now, Doris? Doris is coughing, I think. What's the weather like in Santa Cruz, Doris? Doris, we don't have much time. Are you there? Let's go to another call, okay? Doris.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
well, what's
Doris
happened, Doris?
Here.
What happened, Doris?
What happened? I don't know.
Oh, I've been asking for you for hours already.
Oh,
it feels
really?
Like. Yeah,
I've been waiting for you for hours.
You said that. do people eat matzo balls in Santa Cruz?
Oh, sure, we do. There are Jews here.
You wrote that for years. You were afraid to make them. Why?
Well, I've always heard stories about how hard they are to make, that they come out sometimes like lead balls or cannonballs, or they bounce away. So it terrified me, and I was afraid.
And
I was afraid to fail.
So what did you do finally?
I finally got disgusted because my daughter bought a matzo ball mix and made matzo balls that way, and they were awful. They were too salty, and they tasted terrible. So I decided to overcome my fear and just make matzo balls.
Now, Joan,
it came out great.
Now, Joan, some people like the matzo ball mix because it makes fluffier matzo balls. Have you ever tried one?
I have.
Yes, my daughter did make them. I don't like fluffy matzo balls. I like matzo balls that you have something to chew on.
Well, you know, when I was reading what you said, Doris, totally agreed with everything that you said about matzo balls and chicken soup, and that you had to add bouillon, which makes a better chicken soup. That's my secret ingredient, if it just doesn't taste right at the end.
Right. Well, you know, I grew up on an old-fashioned farm, mm-hmm. where whatever we ate came right from the earth, and everything tasted different, wonderfully delicious and authentic. And when agribusiness came in, it changed the taste of foods, including chickens. And a few years ago, I read an article about a chicken soup matzo ball contest. And the winner, her secret ingredient was she put some extra bouillon cubes in there. And it really makes a difference. You got to help these agribusiness foods.
Well, my mother used to insist on using fowl rather than regular chickens because she said that those older chickens had more more flavor, a tom, as she would have said.
Right.
But
where do you get older chickens now?
You can't get them anymore. What happened?
Agribusiness came in.
Right, but you can sometimes, there's some supermarkets that have them. definitely. I mean, I live in Washington, but you can get
I've
them. But what my mother uses is she uses chicken legs and thighs.
Yeah, but I can never hardly see them.
Well, what
of
about
we used to have chicken feet and chicken everything. I mean, we used to shech the chickens and pluck them and clean them and cook them.
Now, what about Joan? What about the packaged chicken broths? Now they come in boxes, or you can get them in cans. Do any of those pass muster?
No, but you know, if I'm cooking for other things, I confess that I do use the chicken broth. But when I'm making chicken soup, I don't know. Maybe it's my heart. I want my kids and everybody to have the real thing.
I'm talking with Joan Nathan as part of our Passover matzo ball recipe swap. Now, are the matzo balls you're making in any of your cookbooks, Joan?
They're not. Well, variations are in all of them. The one that I'm doing today, because my mother's coming, my 93-year-old mother for my Seder, is in the New American Cooking. But it's a slight variation on one in Jewish Holiday Kitchen as well.
Now, we have Leslie from Connecticut on the line, and she's also concerned about making the soup. You do use chicken feet, Leslie?
Oh, hi. No, I don't. My grandmother used my grandmother used to make it with chicken soup.
You know, you can go to a Chinese butcher and get all the chicken feet you'd ever want.
Well, you'd be hard put to find chicken feet in Western Connecticut. But my grandmother
they walk around on their knees.
There was a time you couldn't find matzo balls in Western Connecticut.
In Brooklyn, in what's now probably, I can't think of the neighborhood now, the popular neighborhood. Anyhow, we used to
Williamsburg.
Walk to the chicken store, which was just filled with sawdust and had all these chickens hanging. And it was a double process for her. She would definitely make two chicken soups, the first one using fowl and making a whole chicken soup and then straining out the broth and then cooking the second chicken in that broth. And I pretty much do that too, except that I do use the organic boxed chicken broth, which I buy usually in Trader Joe's or someplace, and add a chicken bouillon cube. And in that, which I consider the first soup, I cook the chicken and all the vegetables. But I love the recipe that's on the side of the Manischewitz box for the matzo balls, and I also like them. They're not tough, but they offer a little resistance when you cut into them, and definitely not tough. But my concern is with the chicken soup. I have memories of going to restaurants where it was so clear and so beautiful, mm-hmm. And so what I do is really strain it umpteen number of times. I usually make it a couple of day affair and put it in the refrigerator and let it, you have to cool it first so it doesn't turn sour. And then the next morning, skim off all the fat and definitely cook the matzo balls in salted water separately because they would cloud up the soup. And then try to strain the soup through two layers of cheesecloth.
Wow, you really do a labor-intensive version.
I'll tell you, I think that making chicken soup is really a transcendent process. That I'm not a religious person, so what this does is connect me to all of my heritage, and which I feel very strongly about. And it's just a really therapeutic experience. You know?
That's very beautiful.
Thank you for calling us. You know, she mentioned that she likes the recipe on the box. A lot of people learned how to cook things from the recipes on the boxes. Have you ever checked them out, Joan?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I sort of fiddle with them sometimes. I might add a little bit less schmaltz than they suggest, or they sometimes suggest now vegetable oil, which I'll use for my vegetarian daughter. But I feel as if at holidays, part of the fun is skimming off the fat in the top of the soup and using it. And it really, you know, it has the flavor of the soup in it. It just tastes better. And I also use chicken broth instead of water in my mix for the matzo balls.
Now we have Jonathan on the line. He's from Mount Vernon. You definitely are on the fluffy side, aren't you?
That's right, I am. From my experience, a knadel isn't a knadel unless it's fluffy. Now, I've eaten the other kind, but from my family's standards, a knedel's got to be fluffy.
So what did your mother do, or do you do now, to recapture that wonderful traditional matzo ball, your fluffy matzo ball? Do you have special tricks?
Well, the recipe comes from my grandmother's mother, as far back as we can tell. And what we do is we separate the eggs, and so we beat the egg whites separately from the yolks, and then fold in the matzo meal and the yolks with the parsley, salt, and pepper.
That's actually where was your grandmother from? Because it's similar to my mother-in-law's recipe.
My grandmother was from Bialystok.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, that sounds like a good one. I know my mother-in-law did them equally as fluffy as yours. And I remember after she passed away, I couldn't decide what to do because I liked the more al dente. And just before Rosh Hashanah, I thought, what am I going to do, her recipe or mine? And then I decided I'm going to do mine. And my kids said, you know, Mom, I've always liked yours better. I didn't like fluffy matzo balls.
Now, it's not that I have something against firmness in the soup,
right,
as odd as that sounds. When I was a kid, my grandmother would have these things called chicken eggs, which sounds kind of redundant.
Oh, I hope somebody would mention that, yes.
But they were the eggs from the killed chicken that hadn't been laid, and she would make sure that the kids around the table got the chicken egg. So in the bowl of soup, there would be a knedel, which was fluffy, and the chicken egg, which was quite firm.
Uh-huh.
And we love that.
Oh. And what are the difference between chicken eggs and eggs that come from chickens?
Well, from what I can tell, aside from the fact that it wasn't laid yet and there wasn't any shell, I think there was only the yolk.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very dense, and it was, and she would get them specially from the butcher in New Haven, and she would kind of dole them out to the grandkids.
Thank you so much for calling us.
No, thank you.
Some of the things that have come up so far, like using seltzer, I haven't dealt with. Joan, do you think seltzer actually helps?
Well, you know, I did an experiment once with water and with seltzer, and I didn't see a difference. I really believe it's the time that you cook it. The amount, if you cook it for a longer time, it's going to be fluffier. And if you don't cook it, it's not, you know, cook it less, it's not going to be so fluffy. That was what I concluded.
Can we go back to the whole business of the schmaltz, the chicken fat?
Mm-hmm.
Can you just use the fat that you've skimmed off the chicken broth?
Absolutely. I mean, if you really wanted to make it better, you know, you'll render it with some onion. That could even taste better. But I just use the chicken fat.
Now, a listener wrote in that if schmaltz isn't available, a good substitute is to saute half an onion in vegetable oil and then chop the onions fine and use them with the oil, which I guess it tries to capture that same onion with fat flavor.
Right, right, absolutely.
And another listener suggested using bone marrow. Had you ever heard of that?
Oh, well, that, yes. In fact, the early matzo ball recipes from this country often had bone marrow in instead of chicken fat. They would use that, and they'd call them marrow balls. And that was a central European dish. It was from Alsace, from southern Germany. And I've traced that into San Francisco. Lots of old San Francisco families make that. And, of course, now it's all of a sudden marrow is in. So it's very popular.
We go now to Adam from New Jersey. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Leonard.
And you have a recipe for stuffed matzo balls? What's that?
That's right. It's meat-stuffed matzo balls. I take a regular matzo ball and make a small indentation, and I put in some chopped meat. In fact, I did a step-by-step recipe and created a Flickr page so you can see exactly how the process is done.
Now, when you say stuffed meat, you mean ground beef?
Ground beef.
Not ground chicken?
In the ideal situation, it would be ground beef with a little bit of ground veal as well.
And that is also very Lithuanian.
Well, this is, you know, I would like to say that it came from my grandmother, but actually her matzo balls were terrible. They had the taste and consistency of a flesh-colored Spalding ball. So I developed my own matzo balls, and I'm of my grandmother is of Hungarian origin, and my father is from Yemenite origin, so I have a kind of Jewish fusion cooking.
But I'd imagine that you could stuff them with anything like ground chicken meat or perhaps nuts or olives or anything that appeals to your taste. Pistachios would be more Sephardic, wouldn't they?
Well, true, but we don't have to live out these stereotypes. So I find that I get the best reaction for the meat-stuffed matzo balls. And it's molded after a Kurdish dish, which is a kubes soup, instead of I'm replacing the bulgur wheat exterior with a matzo ball.
And you said you have a Flickr page in which you take people step-by-step through doing this recipe?
Through the entire two-day process.
Two-day process.
Well, I have to make the meat the day before, and then I let it cool down. I put it into the fridge, and then the whole thing is assembled the next day.
Well,
and there's definitely there are two kinds of traditions. You're absolutely right about Cuba, and there's Cuba that you can also serve at Passover, which are stuffed. They have matzo balls with filling, but they're not really matzo balls, a different flavor. And then there's the Lithuanian Jews. It's a Hasidic tradition to have stuffed matzo balls, sometimes with meat, but always with cinnamon. And the reason it's sort of mystical, because you have the idea of Shabbat, and there's a little bit of mystery in Shabbat, and you want the mystery of it to linger. And so you have this hidden sweetness within a matzo ball. And that's, I've found Lithuanian Jewish recipes for meat-stuffed matzo balls, or even in Israel I've found recipes with foie gras-stuffed matzo balls.
Well, all of this talk about meat reminds me that not everyone is a meat eater. And Isa Moskowitz has put together a vegan version of the matzo balls. Now, how do you make a matzo ball that's totally vegan? Do you use eggs?
No, that wouldn't be vegan.
Uh-huh. So you have to make them without eggs, and obviously you're not putting them in chicken soup.
Right.
What are you doing?
Well, I make my own vegetable stock, and I use tofu for the binder.
Uh-huh.
Fascinating. I'm going to try yours. I was looking on your website.
It's amazing. My family loves these matzo balls, and they're not vegans. I make my own matzo meal. I try and get the fresh matzo from Williamsburg.
Shmora matzo.
What's that?
What they call shmora matzo.
Oh, okay. But if not, I'll just make my own, you know, from the store-bought matzo. I think that gives a really great texture and flavor.
Now, you've been working on alternative vegan recipes to a lot of favorites. Didn't New York Magazine recently name your vegan cupcakes among the best in the city?
No, that wasn't me.
Ah.
But they should have. No, I don't sell cupcakes retail. I write cookbooks.
You have the Post-Punk Kitchen?
Right, yeah, I do a vegan cooking show.
Uh-huh.
And there was an article in New York Times, but not New York Magazine. I wrote an article for it, but yeah, they were talking about baby cakes.
Oh, I saw that article. It was terrific. The one in the Times?
Yeah.
I loved it.
So how different does your matzo ball soup taste from the traditional matzo ball? So because in the past, vegetarian dishes, you'd go to Ratner's and places like that, and they'd have vegetarian steak. You know, and the word steak in that context was the biggest joke anybody, you know, it was total
hoax.
Yeah.
Well, the word meat originally just meant food, and it eventually came to mean, you know, dead animals. So I think vegans and vegetarians playing with words like that, I like it personally. But as far as how it tastes, I haven't eaten animals for about 18 years. But as I was developing the recipe, I probably started working on it when I was around 18, and I'm 34 now. And then I could still, you know, from memory, do a comparison. And I thought it tasted better. My family loves them, and they still eat meat.
How long did it take you to develop this approach? Is this a trial and error kind of thing?
Yeah, very much so. Especially in the 80s, you didn't have what we have now, which are tons of amazing options, especially in New York City, for vegan food. So it was mostly me in my kitchen. I would sit there for 3 days working on matzo ball soup, for instance.
Now, can you get tofu that's kosher for Passover?
Well, yeah, that's an issue. You can get tofu that's kosher, and some, you know, I don't know exactly if they sell tofu that's kosher for Passover.
It's changing because it's soybeans.
Right. Yeah.
Many rabbis now, because it's a bean, and traditionally it wasn't kosher for Passover, but there are many rabbis that have congregations with many people with food allergies and vegetarians, mm-hmm. and so they are saying yes, you can use soy products.
Right. That's
and
the thing.
Especially in Israel,
ask your rabbi about it. I mean, I think the rule was originally because you can't use anything that can be made into a flour,
right?
Because then that would confuse people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, I would just speak to your rabbi about it. And there's also Sephardic Jews don't have that rule, while Ashkenazi Jews do.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Joan, mm-hmm. more and more people have to make those kinds of adjustments at Seder's as more people become vegetarians. So do you make two kinds of soup, or do you just hope
yes.
that everybody is a meat eater?
I don't, because my daughter, I want my daughter to come, and she's a vegetarian. So I do a vegetarian broth for her, and then I do regular broth for everybody else.
A listener wrote in to tell us that he doesn't make matzo balls. He makes matzo pyramids and cubes instead of balls. The pyramids as reminders that Passover is also about Egypt.
Oh, how funny.
Well, you can make them any shape, can't you?
Absolutely.
But
it's a little hard.
It's a lot easier to roll a matzo ball.
Right.
So,
and you know, one of the things I tell people all the time is to put your hands in cold water when you want to shape the matzo balls so that they'll be really round.
Did you look at all the recipes that were submitted, Joan?
Yeah, I was amazed. I think this is so much fun.
Yeah, and what's most amazing is that all of them look like they will taste just wonderful, and they're all different. I guess this is another justification for continuing to write cookbooks.
It certainly is. What was amazing to me was that everybody had such good ideas and had such – there was such thought about it, but also such thought about memories. And matzo balls, I guess, are memories. You know, what you really like best is what you grew up with. And I think that's really important. Just I think in a world where we have so many things that are the same, it's wonderful to have these individual memories.
Because that's why people swear by firm or fluffy. It's what they grew up with. It's associated with a lot of other wonderful experiences, that whole family tradition of the Seder, or whether it's a Seder or it's a Christmas dinner or Easter or Thanksgiving. We hold fast to the things that we grew up with. And maybe that's good because so many other things have been changed and distorted over the years.
Absolutely. I remember when the first time I really had hardtack matzo balls was when I was very young and I was living in Israel, and I had tasted Golda Meir's matzo balls, and they were very hard.
Mm.
And, you know, since then, I've been thinking about matzo balls, and especially at holidays, because every child loves matzo balls. And also, when people are ill, when they've gone through, chemotherapy, matzo balls are a wonderful, wonderful dish.
And
it doesn't matter what.
We've run out of time, Joan. In Jewish penicillin. Thank you so much. Thank you, all of you.